How are you doing this morning? All right, good, good. I really appreciate the young people came to Loma Linda Hospital to visit. And I have a lot of people watching from Facebook and email to me and text me and everything from that Facebook. And so I really appreciate people from many churches have been praying. And so the Lord's really blessed me. I think it's a serious matter. I did not take so serious. I think I'm still young and strong. But little I know is not that young and not strong at all. Anyway, so I did the episode. I have first two times, and I take for granted, you know, maybe a short of breath. I need more oxygen. But the third time, it really took me down. If I don't rush the hospital, I probably won't make it. And so we rush in time, and I find we have a heart. I have a heart problem that the atrial flutter, that's mean beat so fast that the heart don't have the chance to take in oxygen, take blood to go to your body, and so that's where the problem is. Not a correction of a valve. People I know they put on Facebook a valve. I think they have to do open heart surgery. But pray for me because I do have some leakage in the valve. So I still have some problem, but not the major one. They already corrected, and so please pray for me. And I need to take serious that I have to be watch out for my health. And I think all of you probably have to do that too. We have to listen all those signs, and we have to take care of our health. And I cry out to God. God, please give me more years, because the gospel needs to share. So many people don't know the gospel, and we need more worker. And so that's what I cried out to God. And maybe from that, God give me another chance and focus my health to really get the gospel out. So my focus, after the surgery, I think my focus has to be more clear, is focus on the Word of God and get the Word out. And as I study the book of Acts, I notice that the priority work is for me is to train and to spread the gospel. The pastoral work is the member. As some of you hear what I'm just saying, that the pastoral work, as originally indicated in the Bible, is not ministers. I don't know if some of you know about it. But years ago, Adventist church grows so fast, back into the early 1900s, okay, the church grew very fast. Do you know that there's no residing pastors, no local pastors take care of the sheep? Do you know that? That time is 18% increase every year. And now approximately 2.5% to 3% membership increase every year. But back then, 18%. And the whole Christian churches come to the Adventist church and say, why? Why is your church growing so fast? And they find out we do not have preside pastors. Every pastor is evangelist. Go out, plan the seed, grow the church. After 6 months, take off. Do you know about tent meeting? And some of you, young people, you heard about tent meeting? Back then, there's no church. Everywhere you go, to preach at the tent, and they preach every day for 6 months. After that, you have 20, 30 people baptized. They start the church. They bring the tent to the next city. And that's how our church grows so fast. And each way I have to say this. On the day if you stop doing that, take care of the church and stop going out evangelizing, your church will start going down. And that's what happened. It's going down just like many other churches. Do you know back then the Israelites tried to cause it? We want to have king just like other nations. Well, Adventists just cried out, we want to have our own pastors like other denominations. I don't know if you realize that. Not exactly word, but exactly the same thing. And Adventists just start to mimic just like other Protestant church, that they have their own presiding pastor. And I know really hard to break in that. But today's lesson in the book of Acts, I want to share with you the first journey of Paul. The first missionary journey of Paul. And when you understand this, you say, wow, That's where our forefathers of heaven, the church, have done, and we have been so far away from that. And let's go visit these verses and try to understand our churches. If we can understand this message, we can have the same growth just like the early church. Do you believe that? I think a lot of times, sometimes we in the church so long and it's not growing as fast as we want to. Sometimes we've been forgotten that God wants us to grow fast. It's not just slow. And so we have to look at the very key text that God teaching us. So my title of my message this morning was Paul's First Missionary Journey. Okay? And we're going to look at the two chapters in the book of Acts, chapter 13 and 14. And as you're going to look at very clearly, what is the first Paul missionary is like. Give you a little background that God have brought Paul into the picture to witness to the Gentile. That means to those who are not the Jews. Those people have not known about God in the Old Testament. They reaching out someone out that they don't know. Just like today, you go reach out to people who atheists, Buddhism, Mormon, or even including Muslim. And that's why we reach out to people who don't know Christ. And so that's what we focus on that. So I want to tell you a story about it. Why do people have that mission spirit? Years ago, they were able to find a certain valley where the Waddenzee hide. Okay, one of them, there's four valleys. One of the valleys is Angorna Valley. And this is way out far in the alpine region of Piedmont, Italy. Okay, and they find the whole place, valley, that's where the Waddenzee live. Now, as they look into that valley, they find a place, refuge. You know, valley, ready, refuge, away from the people who try to persecute the Waddenzee. But there's a place that they have to go to hide away from the people who want to persecute them. And this very place is a hamlet by the name of Carl Paudentorno. And this is the only way to get in. It's only one person go in at a time. It's mean really block in. If you want to go by mule, it's only one person go in at a time. So can you imagine, it's hard to get in. And in that place, it's defined that as a training place for the Waddenzee. They find some table, some school, and try training. And so the textbook for the textbook for them training is just only the scripture. And the students sit around the table, they memorize the whole Bible. They study the Bible inside out. Within 3 or 4 years, some of the young people are graduated in the smaller school, and they send them out 2 by 2. And they committed their life to be a missionary. And when they go out, they consecrate it, and they look at lay on hand, and they go out 2 by 2 and go far distant from their homeland to preach. Now, they commit their life to that. And some of them go so many years, they are exhausted, and they come back. Some of them die on the way because they were persecuted. Now, the question is where did they get that spirit? Where that spirit come from that they're willing to go out to share the gospel? They work with their bare hand and they're able to share the gospel is because they find the spirit through Paul. Paul's spirit into the first missionary journey, we will find that and we will look at some of the text here to help us to understand. Turn with me in the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Now, you know the story of Paul, and usually he was being Saul, who were persecuted the Christian, and God had met him on the road to Damascus, and he able to find who Christ is. He came back to Jerusalem, that's where the center of the Christian. And when he came back to Jerusalem, he said, "Here, I am Saul, and I am converted. Would you accept me?" Guess what? People are afraid with him. You are the one who persecuted us. We do not believe you. But anyway, other people have witnessed to them at the church in Damascus. They say, he is really converted. And so when he come to Jerusalem, people still have a different look on Paul, Saul back then. And he decided no longer stay in Jerusalem. It seemed like he is something like your hand is tight. Do you ever come to the church and your hand is tight and you cannot do mission work? Well, copy Paul. Go somewhere else to do a mission work. Right? When you join the church, your heart is on desire, fire. You want to do something for Christ. Matter of fact, I have one young man that we brought to the church some years back. And he with the three daughters, some of you probably know his name is Hong. Three daughters, the youngest one is Laura. Okay? When he learned about Christ, he's so excited. And I tried to teach him the Bible. And he tried to look at the Bible. And I asked him to read. He said, no, no, you can read. I listen. And so many Bible study, he just never read. I read to him and he memorized it. Little I know, he cannot read. He cannot read at all. He never have any education in Vietnam. You know, in Vietnam, when you are not Vietnam, Con Lai, you know what Con Lai? That means you are not born in Vietnamese blood. You are a foreigner, and so you cannot go to school. That's under the communists in Vietnam. So he never get education. He never able to read. But he have good memory. Everything I read to him, he committed to memory. Well, he went out to give the Bible study. He preached, and people throw him out one door at a time. But he have a heart to share the gospel. And so when you first converted, you want to share the gospel. That's what Paul did. He wanted to share the gospel so much, and so he wanted to go somewhere else. And this is where we start to see his first missionary journey. Now it is. The name Saul is a Hebrew name. Okay? And he changed his name, or I guess God changed his name to Paulos. That means it's a Roman name, and that time is Greek. And so why are you doing that? Now, long time ago, I thought his name changed from Saul to Paul because he converted. But not so. His name was changed because he go on the missionary. Just like if you want to go visit someone in Africa, a missionary, you want to change your name to African name so easy people to remember. And so what his name is changed then. Number two, that we need to get the background here. Antioch is the first place he kept going. Little people know it's become a center of training missionary. Not Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem, they think, hey, we need to witness those who are Jews. Okay? But God said, no. First you go to the Jews, but you have to go to Samaria, Judah, and throughout the world. But people in Jerusalem don't want to do that. Just like we, if you live in Loma Linda, practically a lot of people are Seven Adventists there, and we just bring people Adventists to the main church, the university church. If not the church, then go to other church. So many churches in Loma Linda, you can go anywhere. And so there's members just hop one church to another. And we thought the church was growing. No. Paul said, no, we got to go out and witness somewhere else. So that's what happened in Jerusalem. So he decided to go on Antioch. So now, let's go to Acts chapter 13. Now, as they worship in Antioch, something happened. Verse 2. They ministered to the Lord, which is worship the Lord on the Sabbath day, and fast, and the Holy Spirit say, now separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, and lay hand on them, they send them away. Now, Paul and Barnabas was worshiped there, and they decided, we just love to worship here because a lot of new Christian there. Guess what? The Holy Spirit said, no, this is not your home church. Your church is everywhere. You got to go. And so here it is, the journey, they going out. They lay on hand, they say, Paul and Saul and Barnabas, you got to go to visit the people. Verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went to down Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Why did they go to Cyprus? Barnabas from Cyprus. Okay? And so that's give us a good lesson. First of all, you need to witness to your homeland. First of all, you have to witness to your family. Is anyone in your family have not accepted Jesus Christ? Is anyone in your family have not known about the Sabbath? First of all, you have to witness to your family before you go up somewhere else. That's the thought of going to Cyprus. Now, why in the world would you go to Cyprus? It's just a small little island. The second thing is, many Jews who believe in Christ, that when they were persecuted in Jerusalem, remember Jerusalem when they stoned Stephen? They were run out of Jerusalem, and they find the nearest place possible. They run out to different places where they went to Cyprus. And Cyprus, they have a mini synagogue of the Jews. And so that's what God have sent them, let go to the Jews who converted, and they've been preaching to the Gentile. And that's where Paul and Barnabas go first to Cyprus. And then they arrive, verse 5, and when they arrive in Salamis, they preach the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also have John as their assistant. Okay? This is John Mark. And that's where they go out with these two people. Now, when they have gone through the island of Paphos, they've found a certain sorcerer, false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Jairus, Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Okay, let's understand this here. Here it is. They visit two people. Okay, two people in the city. One of them are the Jews. And what that Jew, you know, the Jew doesn't mean they worship God, right? Jehovah. But the Jews is what? What type of work he do? He what? A sorcerer. Would you think the Jew would be a sorcerer? No. That means what? He reject his religion. He go out and copy what other pagan are doing. And God have called these a false prophet. However, he lived with an unbeliever. But unbeliever, guess what? Want to know the gospel. That's what he called Barnabas and Saul come to preach to him. Okay, and so proconsul called Barnabas and Saul come to preach to them. Okay, and guess what? I'm going to jump into verse 8 here. But Elymas, the sorcerer, which is we talking about, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Now, very sad to hear this. Okay, the people already should know about Christ. Stop someone else listen about Christ. There would ever be a time that a church member did something, maybe not know or knowing, that stopped someone to come to Christ. Maybe the way we act, maybe the way we say, maybe the way I conduct ourselves, sometimes we stop people come to Christ. And this would happen. He tried, I mean, this is the council want to come to Christ. And here the Jews say, hey, don't listen to those two men. And if you continue on, what happened? If someone stops someone preaching about Christ, what do you think God will do? I'm not saying God will do every time, but in particular case, let's read on, see what happened. Then Saul, who was called Paul, and at this time his name changed, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intensely at him and said, oh, fool, who said this? Saul said this. Oh, fool and all deceit. Oh, fool of all deceit and all fraud. You, son of the devil. You, enemy of the all righteousness. You will not cease perverting the straight way of the Lord. Now, that's what Paul saw trying to say. Paul said, you are the one. Why do you stop God's preaching? Why do you son of the devil? Would you ever point finger to someone and say, you son of the devil? I mean, that's not a nice thing to say. Would you ever say that? Now John the Baptist say, "You viper, right? You snake, you scorpion, you take away the gospel." Same thing, God's Spirit come upon Paul, say, "You are the son of devil." You know, that's a time that people try to stop the gospel. And sometimes you got to say, you just got to stop it. If you of Christ, you would never stop the gospel. And if you're not of Christ, you better get away. And that's what Paul is saying. Verse 11, "And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind and not see the sun for a time." And guess what? So I stop right there. So someone tried to stop someone to listen to the gospel. Guess what? God will bring them, what? God will punish them. That's very sad. Sometimes I ask the question, God, have I ever stopped someone to listen to the gospel? Please forgive me. Sometimes we stop someone. Sometimes we say, "Oh, that person is not preaching the truth. You're preaching too strong, too hard." But sometimes we stop the gospel. And here it is, that Jews become blind. And when that happened, guess what? The proconsul believed in Christ. Believe. So through this miracle, other people accept Christ. And guess what? After that, they did miracle. A lot of people follow Christ. Go on, Paul decided to set on, go to Antioch. As the following verse, you see, he went to Antioch, he preached the gospel, and guess what? When you preach the gospel, a lot of people follow. What do you think will happen? Yes. Huh? Persecution. Right? Persecution. And so that's what Paul did. He preached the whole gospel. If you can read on in Antioch, he preached the whole gospel, but people listened to it, and guess what? We're going to go directly to verse 42. "And when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentile begged that these words might preach to them the next Sabbath." What does that mean? The Jews worship in the synagogue on the Sabbath, right? Right? And the Gentile does not work on the Sabbath. And listen about this Sabbath issue here. A lot of people argue, say, well, Jesus or the disciple preached to the Jews on the Sabbath because their custom is a Sabbath. But with the Gentile, they preach on Sunday. Is that so? No. This text says the Gentile begged Paul and Barnabas come back next Sabbath. That means they believe that these people keep the Sabbath. Come back. To be in the Sabbath. Verse 43. "Now when the congregation have..." let me move to the next point. 44. "And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God." Praise the Lord. So when we preach the gospel, the word of God not go in vain. Okay? Verse 45. "When the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with" what? "Envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they proposed the thing spoken by Paul." So guess what? When people follow Christ, other people upset, they start to persecute. My friend, I got to share with you. A lot of time we want to be a follower of Christ. If you true follower of Christ, you and I, we need to share. And if we share, there will be what? Persecution. People don't like you. People hate you. People don't want to be your friend. And so you come to the point, should I keep my friend or should I give testimony? If I give testimony, they think I'm weird, so they're going to leave me. Or should I rather follow Jesus or than follow my friends? You see, it's very important what my parent taught me a good lesson. You keep your friend, but you have to follow the moral standard. You should do this, you should do that. But if they don't support you, they are not true friend. So if people don't support you to share good news, that's me, they are not true friend. And so that's what Paul here. He preached the gospel, he shared the good news. You know, Paul never had an idea that want to break away from Judaism. They want everyone to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Just like Martin Luther, he never want to break away from Roman Catholic. Under the Roman Catholic Church, push them away. That's why the Protestants start. But Paul never want to do that until the Jews break him away, persecute him, and that's how the Christianity denomination start. Okay, so he never had that idea, but he always preached to the Jews first before he preached to the Gentile. And that's why he talked about this sermon. I want to bring the gospel to you, but because you reject it, I have to bring to the Gentile. And so today, same thing, my friend. When you share the testimony to someone else, if they don't accept it, what do? You can sit there? No, you have to go to the Gentile. Now, if you continue with the last couple of verses of chapter 13, and you will see. Here it is. Verse 49, the word of the Lord was being spread throughout our region. Because what? Because the preaching. Okay? Do not think that when you preach the word of God, and the word of God stop right there. Okay? Just like I went to evangelistic meeting. Dr. Campbell preached the word of God. I listened to it. It's not stop right there. It begin with me to get the word out to other people. It's a ripple effect. When you sow the seed, how many people sow the seed and you think you only sow one seed and you have only one fruit? I sow one seed, I have 1,000 fruit. Okay? That's what happened. The ripple effect. And so here, all the region heard about the gospel. But the Jews stir up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raise up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expel them from the region. But what is what happened? But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. So in other words, if they don't listen to your testimony, if you don't listen to your preaching, guess what? You go on. The heart is not open. The heart is too hard. You cannot sow the seed on a hard ground, on the rocky ground. How many people try to sow the seed in the rocky ground, and you're so upset it's come, that doesn't have bare fruit? I did. I mean, my dirt doesn't have that much, so where can I go? So I buy a fertilizer, I throw on top of it, and I think that's enough to put the seed down. It's not grow. If you have a rock foundation, it's not go anywhere. So what I did, I have to take all these dirt with all rock, throw them out, bring a new soil in. Okay? And so now, in other words, if you cannot sow the seed, this ground, you got to move on to the next ground. Do not think that they do not accept the gospel. Little do you know, later he go back to the same city and sow the seed again. Do you ever done that? Sometimes I witness to someone, they don't want to listen. Guess what? I forget about it. But God tell me, go back to sow the seed in the same soil again. Let me share with a woman, I go out a few streets down here when we go knock on doors. Knock on doors, it's still important, okay? Please, you got to go back, knock on doors, okay? I knock on the doors, and lady, I want to talk with them about the gospel, and she's the Catholic, saying, you know, I don't want to know about the gospel. I say, there's a Bible here, it's full of truth. Oh, no, I don't want to read your Bible. Wow, she's so hard. I visit so many times. She needs us, our help, because she sent her son here for the school, and that's how I know her. But she said, no, I don't want to know about the gospel. Now, 5 years go by. How many years go by? 5 years, a long way. I don't even know her. Praise the Lord for the database. When I type the name in the database, it's still there. Okay? You guys should appreciate the database. Well, Kutin came along and said, you know, I saw you have a list here in the database. And I noticed you visited 5 years ago. Should we go visit that person again? I said, no, don't visit. I tried so many times, it's not going to work. Well, she dragged me go there. We go visit her. And I know it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You can knock on doors you want to. She'll open. And I bet you she's going to reject you just like she rejected me 5 years ago. Guess what? When she opened the door, she said, Pastor, please come in. I said, wow, I see her face has changed. I said, wow, I could question myself, well, what happened? Something happened 5 years ago. Well, you know what? Since 5 years ago, some people came to my home As a matter of fact, the Jehovah's Witness came to my home and knocked on the door. They shared me the gospel and the Bible, and I love to study the Bible. Could you give me Bible study? And I learned a lesson from Paul here. When they reject you first time, do not think that the Lord don't have a chance to work on their heart. And so if little did you know, chapter 14, Paul make a road trip to different city, and he go back the same route. He came back, you know why? Because he want to visit the same people who reject him. Oh, wonderful lesson. And so we jump to verse 14. Okay? And he left Antioch. He go Iconium. He preached there, and the people love it, but the Jews reject him. He left the city of Iconium. He go to Lystra. Same thing. He preached there. People reject him. He go to another city, Derbe. He preached, people reject him. That means he kept going and going and going. Never, never give up. Do you ever give up? You know, you have to think about the history of our church. Many young people come to Christ because someone willing to take time to share. Hung, you're just here because someone take time to share. What your testimony, your work, I start to see through David. First time I see David invite run, I say, this is work. So have this ripple effect. Continue. Do not stop. The gospel continues to share. Paul continued doing that, and he can bring so many people to Christ. And now I want to read a couple of last verse to help you to understand the first missionary trip of Paul. He goes to two different cities. He goes back the same way. Okay, verse 24. Let's see. I read a few texts right here. Now, let me go to verse 19, because I want to point out something here, and I think it's devastating Paul at this time. Verse 19, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there. Okay, listen to it. Who? The Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Why he came all the way to Derbe, and the people, Jews, still coming to them? That mean what? The Jews so upset with Paul continue follow the footstep of Paul to stop his preaching. You understand what I'm talking about? Some people might hate you so much they follow you to stop your preaching. But Paul never give up. Do you ever put on the glow or a pamphlet as you share? I went to Santa Ana. A group of young people, and I know the security wanted you to put those things on the car, but I'm sorry, I did it anyway. And so I have one guy watching the security go by. Oh, he's go by, go put in the car. Go by, go put it. We filled the whole parking lot with glow, and he caught us. And he said, go every car and take the glow off. You know, we're really upset with that. Well, we took a few of them up and we took off. But anyway, the point I want to share with you here, there's people who will keep following you to stop you share the gospel. The devil do not want you to share the gospel. The devil do not want anyone to be saved. And so this is what these people of Antioch and Iconium follow Paul. You know, I mean, they have a job to do. You know, they have work. But they're upset. They hate you so much they want to follow you to stop you. That's so strange. And so here it is. They follow them, and having persecuted the multitude and stoned Paul and dragged Paul out of the city, supposing him to be dead. And so guess what? They hate so much. What the first thing they do? They stone Paul. And they think Paul dead, so they drag out of the city. What on your mind when Paul was stoned? He thought about Stephen. Saul was there, stoned Stephen. And Stephen cried out, Lord, do not lay this sin upon them. Paul, the same spirit. Years later, people stoned Paul. And Paul, the same spirit, do not lay this sin upon them. Guess what? After he got stoned, and people thought he's dead, right? Guess what? Verse 19, continue. Suppose he's dead. Verse 20. However, when the disciple gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. The same city people stoned you, he go back to the city. And the next day he depart with Barnabas to Derbe. I'm sorry. Guess what? How do you know when you go back to the same place people persecute you? Or should you run away? How would you know? I guess only the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a time you have to run away. Why? Because you got to get the word out. A lot of people, I have to say today, you know, I'm going to preach. I don't care if they stone me. The more they persecute me, God's coming soon. God never wants us to be persecuted. God wants to find have a method for us to escape. And so when God allows us to escape, guess what? You should go. Instead, sometimes we're hard-headed. You know what? I'm going to preach. I don't care if they kill me. And I think that's maybe a foolish sometime. You know, we go into a city. If police stop you, guess what? Maybe you go to a different city. Don't let them put you in jail. Maybe if God allow, then go in jail, preach the gospel there. But there's a time we got to go. A lot of time I see in the Bible, if they persecute you, go to different places. Because your life is very useful for God. Do not cut short. Jesus did not allow us to cut short. Remember? He escaped for his life to continue preaching. What about Peter? Peter was rescued out of jail on the day that he was persecuted, right? He was supposed to be killed. God had brought him out and he go to the next city to preach. So that's a good lesson for us to learn. If we couldn't reach this ground, we go to another ground. Alright, so after that, guess what? He left. And when they were preached the gospel in the city, verse 21, make many disciples and return to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. That's why I just told you, go back the same route that he left. Strengthen the soul. Why are you doing that? Strengthen the soul of the disciple, exhorting them to continue in faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So he go back the same route and he shared the people who believe in Christ and say, you know what? I know persecution will come, but you know what? We have to go through that. That's how we enter the kingdom of God. I'm not trying to say that you have to be persecuted to enter the kingdom of God, but when you preach the gospel, persecution will come. So, verse 23, and when they have appointed elders in every church, listen, appointing the elder in every church, and pray and fasting, they committed them to the Lord and whom they have believed. So guess what? That's why I told you about the tent meeting. After the preach, the group of people called to Christ, they lay on hand. Now you, the elders of this group, you take care of him. Who is the true pastor of the group? It's the elders. It's the elders. And the deacons. Take care of the church. Remember, back in chapter 4, it says, select out 7 deacons take care of the church so we can take care of the word and praying, right? Praying and teach the word. That's it. And so that's what Paul go back the same step. Appoint the elder, make sure that the church go doing well. And after they have passed through Pisidia and they came to Pamphylia, that's when we go back to Cyprus. And now when they preached the word in Perga, they went down Italy. From there they sailed to Antioch. That, by the way, there's different Antioch, by the way. Where they have been committed to grace of the word of God and for the work of which they have complete. And when they have gone, gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentile. Guess what? The news traveled fast. Go to Jerusalem. And they did not realize that Barnabas and Paul go everywhere and start churches everywhere. And sometimes they stick in Jerusalem so long, they don't think the gospel go everywhere. Guess what? When you go out, the Lord will use you mighty to bring many churches, erect many churches. My friend, that's the first journey of Paul. Do you think God will use us the same way? Yes. God can use us the same way. Everywhere Paul and Barnabas go, they sow the seed. So the lesson for us today, everywhere we go, we sow the seed. Now through this lesson, taught me a lesson, continue to sow the seed, even a piece of glow, even share a good news to your neighbor, even type something on Facebook to say, God love you. Sometime we forgot about it. Oh, you can preach the gospel to the internet so many ways. You know, I preach the gospel. I think people listen to my Facebook, the gospel, probably 300 people every Sabbath. But at the hospital, more than, when you guys visit the hospital and we videotape, it went up more than 2,000. Guess what? People preach to every way they can. You have so many friends on Facebook, so many friends in your email, so many friends on your contact list on your phone. You can text something. You can say something. Literally, you know, you sow the seed of truth, and one of these days, that person will come to know the Lord. You think we can do that? Within 5 minutes, you can share the gospel with so many people. More than Paul and Barnabas before. They got to travel in far distance to share. But I'm not saying that we're just doing that alone. We need to see in person as well. But before that, let's sow the seed. And when the seed is growing, you will see the person. You water it. You give Bible study. You direct them to Him. You think we can do that? You think God would want everyone to do that? Yes. I pray that each one of you will be on fire for God to do that. If God have reached me to share other people, God can use you to share the people. Do not let the gospel stop where you're at. Do not let the gospel stop where you're at. Right, Tim? If I share with you, or someone share with you, or Jessica share with you, stop right there. Is that God want to? No. God want you to share somewhere else. That's how the gospel go around the world. My friend, the Lord is coming soon, and He's waiting for us. Maybe no one else, but He's waiting for us that one more soul will save for His kingdom. May God bless each one of you as you understand about the first mission trip of Paul. God bless you.